Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to my podcast, where I tell you about Nashville's great baseball history and traditions.
Shot to right, a one-hop liner.
Certainly about its past, especially about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, but also a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
And I introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans and their love for everything baseball.
A high fly ball down the right field corner going way back. Hits a leadoff home run.
I have spoken about Clinton Butch McCord many times, but never have I made him the subject of an entire podcast episode. Today, I'm going to right that wrong, and I'm glad to be including it during February, Black History Month. Butch passed away on January the 27th in 2011, and it was a sad day for everyone who knew him, especially his wife, of course, Christine, his family, and close friends. I was able to know him through membership in the Nashville Old Timers Baseball Association, of which he and Larry Cole were the only Black members at the time Dad and I joined in about, 2002 or so. Now, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't easy to get to know Butch, but that was not his fault. It was more about the excitement in his voice when he talked. And when I heard him speak, I was in awe of his manner of emphasizing what others did not know, how he was treated as a Black man in baseball, both the good and the bad, how he overcame some of the hurt and pain. He said that, but I'm not sure he really did overcome it. And how he took it upon himself to tell people of his race, particularly children, what the great Jackie Robinson did for them years before Martin Luther King Jr. came along. And I'll tell you, I think most of it, as I'm talking about this, was Butch's passion. Now, I say all that without one single ounce of criticism. I respected him for what he went through and how he told it, no matter if he seemed a little gruff at times. He had a tender heart and a tough skin, is how I would say it, and that helped him endure what no white man could. Honestly, I mean that. Butch was born in Nashville on November the 2nd, 1925, and he grew up on what he called the plantation near the Cumberland River. And when I asked him where that was, he said, right where the Tennessee Titans Stadium is today. Now, what I got from that was that his family were laborers, his mom and his dad, and as best I can tell, Butch was treated fairly well because he once said he played with all the children there, Black and white. He had a unique story about how he got to a career in baseball after high school, and it once was written in a website called True Baseball, and that website is long gone. Butch told me the man putting it together died in an accident, but there had been plans to add other Negro League players to it and maybe even build a museum somewhere. That was a dream to pay honor to the players of the Negro Leagues. What Butch once did for me was pass on to me pages of what was written there that he had printed out. He copied them for me, and I've kept them, and they give a better glimpse into who Butch was, and I have been able to go over them and use them, quite honestly, as a basis for not only this story, but for many other stories over the years. And I hope to continue to do that. I'll be saving a lot of that for another time, for example, about his career at Pearl High School and Tennessee State University, and his time in professional baseball with the Baltimore Elite Giants and Chicago American Giants in the Negro Leagues, and how he transitioned to, or maybe how teams and teammates transitioned to him in a minor league career from Class D ball at Paris, Illinois, where he was joined by his friend Jim Zapp, to Denver in the Class A Western League, then to Richmond, Columbus, and Richmond, all the way up to Triple A ball, a step down below the major leagues, and then to Louisville, Macon, Victoria, Texas, and St. Paul. He didn't stop there either. When his professional career was over, he played not only in the Black Capital City League at Hadley Park, he coached there, and also in the Integrated Tri-State League, the top semi-pro league in Nashville. Well, Butch was destined to be one of baseball's great players. He really was. And the color of one's skin was a factor in baseball careers throughout the United States and he ran into roadblocks all along the way, but never did he let them get him down. Because his answer to roadblocks? How about a .329 lifetime batting average? And how about being the first player of any color to be awarded minor league's Silver Glove for being the best first baseman? Not just once, but 2 years in a row. That was a special accomplishment. And those two gloves are on display down in Birmingham, Alabama to this day at the Negro Southern League Baseball Museum. If you haven't been there, make a trip. Before that, while still in high school, Butch was sought after when organized baseball was just warming up to baseball teams becoming integrated. But Butch did not get that chance in the beginning, but Negro League clubs were interested in him. And here's how special Butch was, and honestly, how he is. Living in a time when your dreams could not come true because of unwritten laws, he was determined to find ways to accomplish his dreams and his goals. His life was an example of what a role model should be. He has given insight as a contribution to fans who know the history of baseball and really the history of the United States. I visited Butch in his home a few times, and he and Christine were always so hospitable. I think she told me something once like, "Law, if Butch is awake, he's talking baseball," or something like that, and that's probably true. Witnessing that firsthand on the occasions I was there, always with a folder of clippings or books he'd stacked on his dining room table, the concluding chapter was saying, "Butch, it's time for me to go," when he would say, "Hold on, I want you to see something." Well, that something turned out to be a VHS tape of him at a Negro Leagues reunion somewhere, Atlanta, at the Braves Stadium, I think. And after watching 30 minutes or so, I had to beg out, "Okay," he would say, "but come back and watch it again with me sometime." And promising I would, and did a few times, the best conversations I had with him were either at Nashville Sounds games, where he was a season ticket holder, sitting next to his attorney and friend, Mike Engel. If there was an empty seat nearby, one could always sit and listen and soak in Butch McCord's stories about baseball. And not just about the past, either. He was a student of the game and wanted to talk about that, too. Next to knowing him personally was the times he would call on Saturday morning when the Sounds were out of town. And when I answered, he would say, "Did you listen to the game on the radio last night?" And no matter whether I had or not, Butch was going to give a rundown about the score and the highlights, with the all too often mention of why the newspapers did not cover the game. He was not prepared at that time to catch up on the internet. But one lasting piece of Butch McCord has stuck with me and with others who I have talked to about him. It was an easy saying, but true, and it goes like this. I can hear him, I can see him right now saying this. "See no baseball, hear no baseball, play no baseball." And let me say it again. "See no baseball, hear no baseball, play no baseball." And here's what he meant. If kids don't see baseball, as if parents do not take their kids to a game or get them to watch baseball on television because they are all playing basketball or football or some digital product on some handheld device, and if they don't hear the radio because broadcasts are too late or parents have allowed something else to get in the way, then no, they're not going to play baseball. In a time when fans were bemoaning the fact of fewer black players in baseball, Butch's words rang true. But they ring true for all players. It's true baseball. According to Butch, the remedy is involvement from the parents and community, both. And he once wrote, "I had a great career, and I am thankful for the time I was in baseball. Actually, I've never left baseball, even though it has been many years since I was with the team. Baseball is a part of my everyday life. And if you were past the time of playing ball, then you were a lot like me. That don't mean you can't be involved in some way or another. Be involved and get kids involved." Well, involved, that's the word, the big word from Butch McCord. I miss him, and kids miss him too. They just don't know it.